Dhamma adhamma kichuna banshi ranchanshi utile kukola kahe premananda imona koranda inoya kariya bola ucha koranda kaha koranda kaha korange namare bolo ucha koranda kaha koranda Madgavirapi Gopalan Sri Kriyat Kripaya Jadi Tadaiva Sambhaya Pidran Rishi Yustad Priyajana Sri Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Sasanatana Rupaka Gopala Raghunathapta Prajabhava Gopalima Namo Vrindavanam Kaya Tubhyam Goloka Molane Varna Brahma Tapatraya Namo Gurudhanaya Chan Namo Gurudhanaya Chan Namo Gurudhanaya Chan Antaya Madhuravala Haridasavayo Yadrama Krishna Charanas Parasapramoda Manam Tanoti Sahago Ganayostayoya Pani Suya Vasakanda Kanda Nuna Panchakopa the Jewish Church The Descendu Vedic Church Patitanam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 So yesterday we spoke something about the first half of this Govardhan Dharma Leela, the pastime of Krishna, holding up Govardhan Hill. And we mentioned a few of the different purports of this pastime. One of the primary lessons of Govardhan Leela is to teach people to worship only what is worthy, and to break their habit of worshipping everything else. This is one of the main purposes of Govardhan Leela. And as we were also describing, we can find many valuable lessons in it about community development. We don't have to go to sociologists and different people. We can look in the Bhagavatam. Everything is there in the Bhagavatam. So one lesson that we learned from Govardhan Lila is the importance of unity. But not unity, not uniformity. We should have unity, but not that everyone has uniformity. Not that everyone is a clone of each other. So yesterday, we were speaking about how Krishna encouraged Nanda Maharaj that to worship Govardhan Hill. And all the bridge bossies, they agreed to this, and Nanda Maharaj asked Krishna, how should we do this? And Krishna told Nanda Maharaj then that in particular we should worship Govardhan Hill, the cows and the Brahmins. Now one very interesting thing about this pastime is Krishna didn't tell Nanda Maharaj to worship Bhagavan. Never mind the identity of Giriraj. That's another separate subject. We may say that he's Gopi's Bhagavan. That's another topic we'll try to come to today. But in any case, they weren't all thinking like that, at least in the beginning. He could have told them, you should worship Lord Vishnu, Father. Because in Nanda Maharaj's house, they have a four-armed deity of Lord Vishnu. You know who we were mentioning the other day, the pujari is Madhu Mangal. And he comes and does archana every day. So Krishna could have told Nanda Maharaj, Bapa, we should worship Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he didn't. Why didn't he do that? Because the essence of real religion, not organized mechanical religion, like we've been speaking about some of the last few days, but the essence of real religion is to love, to give God our heart. And to do that, to really give everything you have to be selfless. And selfless service and love means that we learn by serving our Guru Maharaj, great devotees, Tulsi, and real love. The test of genuineness of devotion is that it's selfless, and that's why genuine devotion spreads to everything that surrounds its object. Prabhupada used to sometimes paraphrase this, if you love me, you love my dog. If we love Prabhupada, we should appreciate Prabhupada's disciples. They may not all be perfect, mostly, but if you love me, you should love my dog. We should love Prabhupada's mission. We should love the essence of that mission, not just the buildings and external things. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur once said that we are not construction workers. Our mission is to spread the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not just to make buildings and things like this. So Krishna, in this pastime, he could have told Nanda Maharaj and the Vrijvasis to worship Vishnu, but he didn't. Instead, he told him to worship Govardhan Hill, the Brahmins, and the cows. And why these three in particular? We'd like to try to explain more about why Krishna told him to worship Govardhan, if we have time in the last part of our discussion today. I'm hoping we can get to that. And if we don't, we have a few magazines left, and there's many, many articles about this thing he said here. So Krishna, he's known as Govinda. He's a personality who gives pleasures, Vinda, to the goat, the cows. He loves the cows. Why? Because Krishna loves creatures who are very meek and humble, and who are very generous and very selfless. This is a lesson from Govardhan Lila. Indra is just the opposite. He's very selfish. He's not very humble. He's very proud. And he's not very generous. He becomes very angry. Krishna loves the Brahmins because they serve God. And because they teach other people to serve God. Those are real Brahmins. Not as we were mentioning the other day, big, big monkey, big, big belly, sailing, jumping, melancholy, that your status as a big Brahmin is how big is your belly. which it almost seems like in some parts of India today, sadly. But a real Brahman is someone who's always serving God. And he teaches other people to serve God. And because they're ready to sacrifice themselves for the good of others, they're very, very dear to Krishna. But Giridhar is even dearer to Krishna than the cows and the Brahmins. And therefore the gopis, they say Haridasa Varya. They address Giridhar as the greatest devotee. I'm not going to try to answer this question now, but I'm going to put something in the ether. We heard yesterday how Krishna, suddenly Giridhar manifested in second form, and Krishna spoke to that second form, and everybody was very shocked seeing that form. And he asked him, "Oh, great Devata, who are you?" And with a great rumbling sound, that personality said, "Sailoham, I'm the mountain. And I've come to accept all your offerings, everything that you have." So from that moment on, many of the Brijbasis, they've come to consider Giridhar as Baba, as a father, as a person who provides everything. A very senior person. But the gopis have a different conception. That's very unusual. How is it they have a different conception? It's described in the Gopi Gita. Hantaya madhurabala haridasavayo yad brahma krishna charanas parisa pramoda manam tanoti sahago ganayastayoya pani suya vasakandara kandubhubai. This verse describes Giridhar Govardhan, spoken by the gopis. Hantayam, hanta, hanta, they say, oh, this is very amazing. Hantayam, adda, abala, abala means young girls, because they're not very strong, not bala. Abala, hantayam, adda, abala, Haridasa Varyo, the Giridhar Govardhan, he's Haridasa Varyo, he's the best of devotees. In his Govardhan Vasa Pratana Dasakam, Srila Raghunath Das Goswami is described as Sri Radhika Vakta Chandra. That this verse wasn't spoken just by the gopis. It was spoken directly by Srimati Radharani. So the gopis, Radharani's conception is that Giridhar is a devotee. But why is it they have this conception which is different than the rest of the Brijbasis? If everyone blesses us, maybe we'll have time to come to answer that. And if not, you can read something about it in the Vedas in here. So Krishna, he told Nanda Maharaj, he said, "Bapa, see, I told you. Indra never came. He never showed up to accept the offerings. He's a big, big devata. He's so far away. He's very abstract to us. We're too insignificant for him. Because he's a very big, important administrator. He doesn't have time to talk to us. We're just simple little people." Sadhu Sabadan. It's a very important lesson in this Leela. My dear devotee, Sadhu Sabadan, sadhus, be careful. Because we don't know who's a devotee and who's not a devotee. We've told several stories in this regard over the last few days about the garbage man in San Francisco, and about one sadhu who was eating off the ground and staying with the dogs in Vrindavan, and turned out to be a very, very exalted person. And I'll tell you one more story, one of my favorite stories, which I told Mataji the other day, that there was one young man who was studying under a very famous sadhu of recent India. His name is Hanumat Prasad Poddar. And he's a person who started the Gita Press, which is a very influential press. They subsidize their publications and they're able to sell Bhagavad Gita for like 25 rupees, less than what they pay for printing it. And this way they mass distribute so many things. And Srila Prabhupada was friends with them. So he had one student, young man, and the student one day he had found a copy, a Hindi copy, Hindi translation of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he started reading it. Wow, this is really good. So he went to Hanumat Prasad Poddar and he said, "Can you please teach me about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu?" And Hanumat Prasad Poddar told him, I'm not the right person to ask about that. He said, "But there's one sadhu who's coming here to Gorakhpur soon. And his name is A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And he can tell you about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the young man was very excited. And Srila Prabhupada came with his entourage, many Western devotees, and this young man went to see him. But when he went to the guest house where Srila Prabhupada was staying, he was disappointed to find that everyone had left. They'd gone for a walk or some program or something. There was just some old Indian man left in the room. And this young man came and the old man said, who are you looking for? And he said, I'm trying to find A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. And the old man asked him, he said, what do you want with him for? And he said, I want to ask him about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The old man said, what do you want to know about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for? The young man said, well, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And the old man said, that's nonsense. Who says that? He's a devotee. And this young man became angry. And he started arguing with that old man. And then all of a sudden, in the midst of their argument, a young Western devotee came in the room and offered obeisances to the old man. All of a sudden, this young man, they realized, oh my God, this is Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada started laughing and laughing. Prabhupada said, he was chastising me. He was arguing with me. Prabhupada was so pleased. Prabhupada was testing him. And that young man, he later became Srila Prabhupada's disciple. His name is Radha Govinda Maharaj, maybe the most learned speaker in the Bhagavatam, perhaps in the whole world today. He's a very amazing personality. So we can't see, we can't understand who's a devotee and who's not. I mean, if you look at this pastime, you would think, hey, Indra's in charge. What's wrong with these Brijbasis? You got to get with it and follow the authorities and be a little bit humble, you know. Right? You might think like that. And who are these? They're just cowherd people. And then there's some cows. You're going to worship cows? Cows are so important compared to the king of the heavens, Indra. So an inherent lesson, very important lesson for community in this pastime is that we're not the seer. We can't tell who's who and what's what. So we should be simple. Simple like the Brijbasis. So simple that when Putana came to Vrindavan, we were mentioning the other day, all the Brijbasis thought, wow, it's a great devotee. Actually, the men, Prabhupada says, the men were thinking, wow, she's really beautiful. They marked that. It's not illegal for a woman to be beautiful. That's her asset. But they didn't recognize her because they were simple. As we mentioned the other day, in all of Braj, no one recognized Putana except a little baby. And that was Krishna. Similarly, Vatsasura. The cowherd boys didn't recognize Vatsasura. The cowherd boys didn't recognize Palambasura. They thought they were both devotees. And they treated them with respect. Even Balaram didn't recognize Palambasura. And Rupa Goswami says in Lalita Madhava that Brinda Devi thought that Shankachuda was the sun god coming to offer worship to Radharani. Thought that he was a great devotee. Didn't recognize that he was a demon. Why? Because they're simple. They're not complicated like us. They're not proud that I know so many things. I've read so many different websites on the internet. I can tell who's a sadhu and who's not a sadhu. I know all the different scandals and bad things about everybody. I'm a very sophisticated person. The Brijbasis don't have time for all that. They're too busy talking about Krishna. So because they're simple, they don't rely on their own senses. They just, if somebody comes and looks like a devotee, very good, you come. Do service for Krishna and engage him in that way. And they just depend on Krishna, but Krishna protects them. Whereas for us, sometimes we say bad things about somebody, but then later on we find out, oh, I made a mistake. I saw that Prabhu coming out of a liquor store, and I was criticizing him because he came out with a big bag and looked very heavy. But later I found out the big bag was books, And he met that liquor store owner on the street, and he said, please come to my shop. I want to buy some books. And I'm criticizing him. I even took a video and put it on the internet to show everybody what the scandal was. But then it turns out I'm wrong. It's very embarrassing. Don't worry about all that. We don't have to. If you're the temple president of the GBC, you have my sympathy. If you have a management position, that's a great burden. Okay, then that's your responsibility. But thank God I don't. I don't know if you want that. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati once wrote a letter to one disciple who was criticizing others. And he said, I don't know why it is you're so eager to take on the thankless task of finding fault with others. He said, this is the business of guru. Is there another chair? A couple of chairs from the front. Can someone give me this? Why are we so eager to take on that thankless task? So the bridge bhasis, they're simple. And this is the essential quality of community. When we start becoming very, very sophisticated, very bitter, very angry, and we have some abhiman, some pride, that I'm the judge of others, and I should protect them from the evil managers. So many people talk about the evil managers. I get tired of it. There's always evil managers, and evil managers come and go. And sometimes they're very good, and sometimes they're not so good. But that's just the way the world goes. And it doesn't affect my bhajan. Let the managers manage. That's their business. So, Krishna told Nanda Maharaj, Baba, has Indra ever come to accept your offerings? But Giridhar, he's come. Giridhar, he's our big, big devata. Now you should offer everything to him. And Giridhar, he told everybody in his big, rumbling, loud voice, said, I'm not like the other devatas. I don't remain distant from you. They'd offered him huge, huge mounds, lakes of sweet rice and juices and dal and thousands of carts from all parts of Braj, of foodstuffs. And Giridhar said, now just watch. And in one moment, just he inhaled a little bit. And 10 million pounds, this is what Kavi Kamipur says, 10 million pounds of cooked food just disappeared. And he kind of belched a little bit. And then he reached out his hands to start taking more. And he took more and more and more. And as he ate more and more, his form became bigger and bigger and bigger. Just like our salsa. We eat more and more. But not exactly like Giridhar. Huh? Because Giridhar, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that Giridhar is a shelter, he's the umbrella to protect righteous persons. And he becomes bigger and bigger when we offer respect to him. It's a very important part of Govardhan Lila. We should give respect. We should want to empower others. And this is something, a very important aspect of Govardhan Lila. We see that Giridhar's Govardhan, he's not selfish. He wants to give to everyone. He wants to empower everyone. And in the same way that senior Vaishnavas want to empower juniors, from this pastime we can understand something amazing, that juniors can also empower seniors. You can empower Srila Prabhupada. Well, you may say, well, I have some doubts about that. But how do you empower Srila Prabhupada? How do you empower your Guru Maharaj? By submissively listening to them, by taking up their mission, by giving some reciprocation to their message. And then what happens with them? They become bigger and bigger and bigger. Their mission starts spreading more and more. They become more and more empowered. So our Krishna consciousness movement is all about empowerment. And this Govardhan Lila pastime, this is all about empowerment. I'd like to try to say a little more about that later. So Giridhar, he ate all the offerings. And meanwhile, we ate with his right hand. And with his left hand, he was wiggling the tip of his finger toward Indra. Insignificant. Like this is Indra. So Giriraj ate so much, there wasn't one grain of rice left. And then suddenly, he gave everything back. And what did Giriraj tell to everyone before that? He said, Aniyor, Aniyor. And there's a town just next to Giriraj called Aniyor. Aniyor means, give me more, give me more, give me more. And this is the nature of Krishna. Krishna, he always wants more. He's not satisfied with whatever he gets. And we see when Krishna, he's not satisfied with the milk from his mother's breast. And he starts crying and demanding that she doesn't push him away. In the same way, in the warm sands of Raman Reti, Krishna is not satisfied when he plays with his friends. And sometimes Mother Yashoda and Rohini, they come and they say, Krishna, we have to come home now. And Krishna doesn't come home. And sometimes they're running after him, trying to catch him. Mother Yashoda is very intelligent. Rohini, she can't bring Krishna, but Mother Yashoda is very intelligent. She goes and she says, oh, there's a great demon. A great ghost is going to come. And Krishna becomes frightened and he goes running to his mother. Mother Yashoda is very intelligent lady. At Vamsivat, Krishna's not satisfied with dancing with all the gopis. And so he makes the full moon in the sky and he doesn't let the sun rise. And for one day, one night, one Brahma Ratri, one night of Lord Brahma, that Ras Lila goes on because he's not satisfied. But as Giriraj, he becomes even more insatiable. And day and night, we see at Govardhan Hill, Yatris, pilgrims are coming, and they're pouring milk on Giriraj, and it's never enough. He's taking more and more and more. Day and night, the Brijbasis are offering so many samosas and pakoras and ladus and sweet rice and things for him. But he just takes everything. It's not enough for him. And Giriraj keeps shouting, Aniyor, Aniyor, give me more, give me more. And he goes on like this until finally someone comes and they take one tulsi leaf. And they put that before Giriraj. And then Giriraj belches really loud, okay, now I'm satisfied. I'm Santushta. So this is the nature of Krishna, this is the nature of his pastime. That Giriraj, he wants more and more and more. Also Gurudev, he wants more and more and more from us. It's not that he only wants us to be nice to each other. It's not that he's satisfied if you distribute 100 books. He wants 1,000 books. Prabhupada said, double it, double it. It's not that he's satisfied if we make this into a nice center. Prabhupada said, there should be seven temples in London. And that was many years ago. I think there should be 100 temples. In London, there can be so many. Now in Delhi, how many large temples are there, remember? Something like 20? It's outrageous. I mean, very big temples. If you don't know, it's been coming up like anything. And it's not enough. So this is the nature of Giriraj. This is the nature of Gurudev. This is the nature of this yajna. It's never enough. Whatever we do, we should give more, give more. And Giriraj and Gurudev are always saying, Aniyor, Aniyor. Give me more. Give me more. And the devotees, they want to give more and more. So Kavi Karnapur says that by joyfully worshipping Giriraj, all the Brijbasis, they realize that Govardhan Hill is a person. So then Krishna told his father, Bapa, now you should go and ask for some benediction. So Nanda Maharaj came forward with his hands folded, and he was a little confused at first because, what do I want? I've got everything. And then Nanda Maharaj, he bowed his head and he said to Giriraj, I don't ask anything for my own happiness. I don't need anything for myself. But my Lord, you know what's in my heart. My only prayer is that Krishna and Balaram may always be happy. And at that time, Giriraj, with his rumbling voice, he said, Tatastu, so be it. He said, I like your boys very much. And then to everyone's astonishment, right before their eyes, that big Giriraj Devata suddenly disappeared. And so then Krishna told Nanda Maharaj, Bapa, Father, you saw Giriraj, he ate all the offerings that were meant for Indra. Giriraj has great power, Baba. So now we should circumambulate Giriraj. And we should circumambulate the cows. So as we were mentioning the other day, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he gives some outrageous figure that, like, you know, I don't know, 10 to the power of 50 or something. And that's like how many cows there are in Braj. It's like beyond quadrillions. And every few minutes there's a few more trillion cows being born in Braj. And we explained something about that. That's actually not surprising. It's very possible because Vrindavan is not the material world. And just inside of Krishna's mouth alone in Vrindavan, all the universes are there. So what to speak of all the cows and things, and Krishna's in Vrindavan. Vrindavan is a transcendental abode. But it was a little bit of a problem for the Brijavasis. How are we going to circumambulate all the cows? A very hard thing. So Krishna said, we'll take one cow, and we'll place that cow here and walk around it. So for those devotees who want to please Krishna, who want to do Govardhan Hill, we should also take one cow and walk around it. It may be in a figurative sense. We're living here in Soho Street. I would be very surprised if the city would allow you to have a cow. You can take it to the park over here every day to get a glass. But I think you'll probably get in trouble. They won't allow. But we can keep a cow in another way. We should support the cows. We should be followers of the cows and supporters of the cows. Just some little money that we have, we're all making money and things. Give a little something, once a month or something, to the cows in the manor or something, or some place where somebody's taking good care of the cows. Show our appreciation. And when you go to the cows, Krishna says, how do you worship the cows? You scratch them a little bit, and you give them something nice to eat, some nice grass, some nice carrot or something like that. And the cows become very, very happy. So this is an important aspect of Govardhan Leela. If we want to do this yajna, we should also worship the cows. Just take one cow, figuratively, just in a simple way, do something for the cows. So they took one cow and one bull and they began to walk around them. And then Krishna told everybody, right, feed everyone. Everyone should be satisfied, even the ants, the cockroaches even the rats, and the dogs, and the cows, and the bulls, and the deer, and the birds. Everybody except Indra. Feed everybody except for Indra. So they were singing and singing, and we mentioned yesterday how Indra, that sound of hundreds of thousands of Brijavasis all coming together with great ecstasy and joy, singing about the glories of Giriraj. Just like the most amazing kirtan you can imagine. And it pierced the walls of the universe and it went to the heavenly planets and into the ears of Indra. And Indra got a big earache. And he went to the Ashwini Kumaras and he said, can you look at my ear? Something really hurts. And the Ashwini Kumaras looked and he said, this is going to be very painful for you. It's going to be like a javelin stuck in your ear, Kavi Karnapur says this. So in this parikrama, Krishna told everybody, you might be interested to know, he said, you can wear your shoes if you want. He said, if you're old, you can ride in bullock carts. That's okay. Because this is Govardhan worship. It's not some smart ritualistic thing. We have to do this thing and that thing. This is Giriraj. Giriraj is the ultimate homeboy. He's so close to us. He's not impressed with all your rituals and this thing and that thing. If you want to go around him with no shoes and you want to do cartwheels while you're going around him or whatever you want to do, that's wonderful if you want to do it out of devotion. But we should be real. Mountains are very real. And if it's difficult for you to go, then go with shoes. No problem. Or go on a bullet cart, or go on a car. She had to go a little slow, so you can see everything. And stop a few times and offer some prayers. Offer obeisances to Giriraj. So, Indra was becoming very concerned. He said, what's going on? The whole day's gone by. Where's my offerings? Today was the day of Indra Puja, a very good day, my day. But I haven't gotten anything. no packages or anything, nothing from Amazon, nothing from his rich bosses. Where's my offerings he's supposed to send? So Indra, he sent some spies to Vrindavan. You go and see what's going on. Indra has very sneaky spies. He has wind spies, cloud spies. You can't tell that they're there. And these spies were wandering all around listening to all the rich bosses. And they weren't very happy hearing what everyone was saying. They were all glorifying Giridhar. Giridhar is such a big devata. Indra never came to us, but Giridhar, he manifested a form before us, and he came here. From now on, we'll only worship Giridhar Baba. He's the best, greatest devata. So Indra's spies, they thought, these people have all gone nuts. And this is the nature, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his commentary in the first verse of Shikshastrika, he says there's two broad types of shraddha, faith. One is Lokic shraddha, common faith, and the other is Paramarthic shraddha, transcendental faith. Of transcendental faith, there's two divisions again. There's Sashastra, Avardharanamayi shraddha, or faith which is based on the rules and regulations of Shastra. And that kind of faith is governed by fear. The second type of faith is Bhagavat Lila Madhurja Lobamoyi shraddha, which means faith which is based on hearing Krishna Katha from a Premi Bhakta, from someone who has love. And that kind of faith is based on lobha or greed. And now these two categories of persons, there's always some disagreement. As we were mentioning the other day, Denukasra, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Krishna Samhita, describing Denukasra, he says, ass-like devotees only put stress on following the regulated principles. And they can't appreciate that someone else can climb the top of the tall tree and get the fruits. And they just make, so these ass-like persons stay on the bottom and they just make a loud noise. You should do Vanashram Dharma. You can't climb that tree. Who do you think you are? Because I can't climb the tree, so how can anyone else climb it? So Indra's spies were something like that. They thought, these people are all nuts. What are they doing? They're not respecting the GBC. They're not respecting him. They're not respecting him. He's in charge of everything. It's very bad. So they went to Indra Lok. They were laughing amongst themselves. People are nuts, man. And Indra, he said, so what did you find? They said, well, this year's puja was bigger than it's ever been before. They offered so many, many more offerings, and there was lots of feasting and music and dancing and everything. Indra said, I didn't get any packages or anything. He said, who was being worshipped? They said, well, don't be angry with this, but they were worshipping, it was a pile of rocks. That's who they were worshipping instead of you. And you see, this is the difference externally between Indra and Giridhar. And we showed this on the cover of our magazine. You see in the right-hand corner this big, big devata riding on an elephant. He's in charge of everything. He's the king of the devatas. And Giridhar, what does he do? He grows grass. Growing grass is not the most exalted thing in the world. It's not like people sing songs about people who grow grass. We don't think of growing grass as such a big deal. But this is the nature of Giridhar, that he serves in the background. Indra, he wants all the prestige and the position. But Giridhar just wants to selflessly serve. He doesn't even need any recognition for himself. He supports everybody else's service. And that's why he's Govardhana. Govardhana means to nourish. And we mentioned Go means the cows, Go means the bridge bossies, the gwalas, the cowry people, the gopis, the gopas. He nourishes everybody's service. We glorify the cows because they give milk and something. But how do they give that milk? They're eating grass from somewhere. And that's provided by Giridhar. But nobody talks about that. It doesn't come on the 6 o'clock news. Giridhar grew more grass this year. Nobody talks about that. And the gopis, they're relying on Giridhar for all the different caves. We're mentioning how one of Radharani's names is Kandarvasi. She's living always in a cave in Govardhan Hill. And those caves, they serve the gopis. Giridhar serves the gopis and the cowherd boys with these different stones to make pillows and sofas and places to sit. He gives so many fruit trees, trees for shade, caves for to be cool. He gives different springs and places for them to offer cooling water to Krishna. And so many fruits, he gives different minerals where they take and they make some red oxide or yellow oxide and they decorate Krishna with that. And the cowherd boys and the gopis and the cows and everyone else gets the credit for that. Giridhar is just selflessly serving. And this is the beauty of this pastime. We should learn to be selfless servants. We should learn to try to empower everyone else. To try to live without envy. Srila Prabhupada, he's described in his purport in the Bhagavatam, Canto 5, chapter 13, text 11. He says that this material world is full of envious people. And one person's envious of another, and this is the way of the material world. The Krishna consciousness movement aims at creating an atmosphere of non-envy. Of course, it's not possible for everyone to become Krishna conscious, but the Krishna conscious movement can create an exemplary society wherein there is no envy. If we want to do this yajna, to please Giriraj, to please Srila Prabhupada, to please Sri Sri Radhananda Ishwar, we need to make a Vrindavan village. We need to make an atmosphere that's free from envy. Envy is a very bad thing. You might be interested to know that in the second canto, chapter 6, there's a description given of the universal form of the Lord. And you might be interested to know that envy has a place on the universal form of the Lord. It's said there in text 9, Parimokshasya Himsaya, Prabhupada translates this. Listen carefully. The evacuating hole of the Lord is a place of envy. So in other words, if you're an envious person, you are a... It has some position there. Our movement should all be about empowerment and not demanding respect for ourselves, not having the bad attitude of entitlement. And this is the fault of Indra. Indra's thinking, hey, don't you know who I am? I'm a very important person. I'm in charge of everything here. And Raghunath Das Goswami, in the beginning of his Govardhan Basa Prarthana Dasakam, the very first verse he describes, Nija Pati Bhuja Dandash Chaktam Bhavam Prapadya Pratihata Madadristo Danda Devendra Garba Atula Pritula Shaila Shri Bhupa Priyame Nija Nikata Nibasam Dehi Govardhanatvam Nija Nikata Nibasam Dehi Govardhanatvam. So we printed in our magazine a rare commentary ascribed to Baladeva Vibhushan on these verses. And Baladeva says a very interesting thing about the refrain. Each verse ends with the refrain that Nija Nikata Nibasam Dehi Govardhanatvam. O Giriraj, please grant me residence near you. That's a general translation. That Govardhanatvam, let me Dehi Govardhanatvam, please give me Dehi Govardhanatvam residence near you. But depending on how you do the Sandhi means how you split the words in Sanskrit. If you separate it, then it's residence near you. If you don't separate it, then it becomes Govardhan Atvam. Atvam. And what did we say? Atva? You may be familiar with this clause, Atva. Vaishnav Atva. It means the quality of a Vaishnav. Atva means the quality. So another meaning of this prayer is that, oh Giriraj, please let me have qualities like you. Please let me be a servant like you. And in the first verse, Raghunath Das Goswami is indirectly informing us that if you want to become like Giriraj, if you want to come near Giriraj, if you want to take part in this Govardhan Puja and establish a Vrindavan village, then the first thing is Nijapati Bhuja Dandach. You take shelter of that personality who's Nijapati. Giriraj's pati. Not, and who is Giriraj's pati? That's Krishna. So immediately Raghunath Das Goswami in this verse is making a distinction between Krishna and Giriraj. Maybe I'm hoping we'll have time to come to discuss more of that in a moment. And then he says a very interesting thing, that one of the ontological positions of Giriraj, and the first aspect of approaching him, is that Giriraj is Pratihata Mada Drishta Drishtadanda Devendra Garva. Devendra means the Indra of the gods. Garva means pride. Pratihata means to destroy. So Giriraj, the first thing is, he destroyed the pride of Indra. Now in this verse, interestingly, Raghunath Das Goswami has used three synonyms for the same word. Four times in the same sentence, he uses words for Garba. He says Garba, he says Mada, he says Drishta, and he says Udanda. So don't think that, oh, Raghunath Das Goswami just ran out of words to use and he was just trying to find something that had this, the right number of syllables and sounded right. Every syllable has a deep purport. The word Mada means pride. The word Drishta means pride. Udanda means pride. And Garba means pride. But all four of these words have a little different connotation. Garba means pride in general. So there's three types of pride that he describes. Mada, Drishta, Udanda. So Mada means pride which comes from intoxication. Pride which comes from some position. Did you ever think about Haridas Thakur? Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that Haridas Thakur was Lord Brahma previously. And Lord Brahma realized, I made a big mistake, I'm really sorry. I kind of sort of kidnapped all the boys and calves. And please forgive me for that. And Krishna said, hey, you're one of my friends, don't worry about it. But Brahma said, no, that's not good enough. I have this big abhiman, this big pride that I was born from the navel, the lotus from your navel. I'm Pitamaha, I'm the grandfather of the universe, I'm Jagatkarta, I am the big doer of everything, I'm in charge of everything. And if you really want to be kind to me, you could like smash my pride. You could like give me some, let me take birth in a way that I'm always going to be very humble. I'm going to be put down. So Krishna said, okay. And he let him take birth in a Muslim family, is Haridas Thakur. Now, think about the difference between Brahma Leela and Haridas Thakur's pastimes. As Lord Brahma, I want to be very respectful when I say this, but he kind of made a big mistake. He became lusty over his own daughter. And he started chasing after her as Lord Brahma. Okay? Now, as Haridas Thakur, Mayadevi personified came. Not just his daughter, but Mayadevi personified. And she moved her body in all the right ways and was dressed in very scantily clothes and did everything she could to agitate his mind. And Haridas Thakur's mind was like wood, completely uninterested. And Mayadevi, she ended up taking initiation from him. So what's the difference between Lord Brahma and Haridas Thakur? Think about it. Lord Brahma has a big position, and Haridas Thakur doesn't. So sadhu sabadan. Why do you want to think about your career in ISKCON? Why are you so worried about getting a big, big position, being respected by everybody? Just be a simple person. And then we can chant the holy name. And this is a lesson that we get from Namacharya Haridas Thakur. So this pride is a great mudda. Mudda also means intoxication. When you have some big position, you become intoxicated. Intoxication means mudda. And the next thing that happens is drishta. Drishta means impudence. And you go to your parents and you call them by your name. Huh? Hey, Joe, what are you doing? This and that. That's a very impudent way to behave. We don't do like that. We don't address our spiritual master by his name. Sanatana Goswami teaches us in Adi Bhakti Vilas. And Indra is so impudent. He's demanding, he's expecting the Brijbasis are going to worship me. because I'm in charge. These are Krishna's associates. They're millions of times more great, as we were mentioning yesterday, than this puny Indra. Brahma and Shiva, they come and worship. Who is Indra? But Indra's demanding this thing. This is drishta. This is pride, and the specific aspect of the pride is impudence. And then there's udanda. Udanda means a stick. Udanda means to raise your stick. Udanda means to push yourself forward. Hello! Just want to get everybody's attention here. I'm an important person. You see the garland they gave me here today. We want to get some recognition from everybody. This is the aspect of pride known as udanda, pushing ourselves forward. And Raghunath Das Goswami is teaching us a pratihata mada drishta udanda devendra garva. If you want to, dehi govardhanatvam, have the qualities of Giriraj. If you want to reside near Giriraj, if we want to have a Vrindavan village, if we want to establish that, we have to drive out these four aspects, three aspects of pride. So how are these types of pride driven out? I'd like to try to say something more about that a little later, but I want to try to finish. It's past time, I keep getting sidetracked. So when Indra was informed by his spies that Maharaj, it's kind of hard to tell you what they're doing, they're not worshipping you, they're worshipping a pile of rocks. Indra didn't take it very well. He became extremely upset. How dare they? These people are so proud. And this is an ancient Atmavan Manate Jagaya. We see in other people what's in us. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Bhakti Lok, he says the faults that we see in other people are actually reflections of our own faults. And that's why we're doing it. And my Guru Maharaj said, fault finding is not your business. That's the business of Guru. The Brijbasis are Guru. They're Krishna's direct associates. Indra is an administrator, and he's a devotee. We should give respect to him, cooperate with him. He's a very important person, and he's doing things for the behalf of Krishna. But he's not as exalted as a Brijbasi. So Indra, his body started shaking. His eyes became red with anger. And he said, you see, these village people, they don't even have a proper house to live in. And they're listening to that talkative little boy, Krishna. And they're daring to come and offend me. How can anyone offend me and survive? Sometimes we think like that. I've seen people in our movement who think like that. I'll tell you a story. I usually don't tell this story. My Guru Maharaj, in 85, I think, when he first came to Europe, he didn't know, he'd never been in an airplane. And when he flew from India, he was riding with one brahmachari who was looking. He said to the brahmachari, what's this woman doing? She's going to all the men over here. And then the brahmachari said, Guru Maharaj, she's a stewardess. She's got everybody canceling. Guru Maharaj said, we're a sannyasi, we don't deal with this. And he stayed up the whole time on the plane. So he arrived in this very strange place in Europe, I won't say where. And in a country that they don't speak English, he didn't speak the language, he had no money. His return ticket wasn't for like another few weeks. He didn't know anybody there. It was a very strange place. And one senior devotee invited him to come to his home. So he went there. And the devotee had been giving donations on Prabhupada's orders, a Prabhupada disciple, for many years. So he went and gave a talk. When he went back, the zonal acharya at the time called him into his room and started yelling at him. Who do you think you are coming here, going to see that devotee? Because that devotee was in bad standing because he wasn't accepting the zonal acharya. Because he saw that zonal acharya has some misunderstandings and some pride. And this zonal acharya in front of his disciples started chastising Lord Vinamaraj. And who do you think you are? Going to him? Who told you you could do that? Nonsense, rascal, get out of here. Go, get. And Lord Vinamaraj, imagine you're in a foreign country, you've never been there before, you don't have a ticket for another few weeks, and you don't even know how to deal with tickets or money or anything, you don't know the language, you don't know anybody. He just laughed. Very good. And just walked out. He had no idea where he's going. And some devotee saw him and came, Maharaj, let me give you some money for a train ticket and you can go to London and this and that and something. So sometimes this happens also in our own movement. Sometimes people, they think they're big, big persons. You know? And they think, how can anyone, you know, not give respect to me and survive? I'll destroy them. Like, this is what Indra's thinking. I'll destroy them. You know? So he said, they're just forest people, but they're daring to offend me. You know? These Krishnas fan the fire of their pride. You know? And all of these coward men, they've taken shelter of this foolish, arrogant, over-talkative little boy, Krishna. Such a terrible thing. Indra, he's a devotee. Don't think Indra is a bad person. Don't think, yeah, Indra, you better get it together, man. You know? I'll give you some blessing or something like that. Don't think that. Because what is the Charama Shloka, most important verse in Srimad Bhagavatam, according to Jiva Goswami? Can anyone say? Eti cham sukala pumsa, Krishna's tu Bhagavan Swayam. And Krishna, he's the source of all incarnations. And what's the next line say? Indradi vyakalam lokam vidayanti yuge yuge. The Krishna comes again and again to support Indra. Indra's not a small person. He's a very important person. It's very important. We need management. We should support management. But it doesn't mean that the managers are necessarily our spiritual leader. I have a right to decide who I'm going to have faith in. Sometimes in the history of our movement, to be really frank with you, people have insisted you should treat the manager like a spiritual leader. He is a spiritual leader in one sense, but my spiritual leader means someone I have faith in. And don't rape me. Rape is a very bad thing. It's spiritual rape means if you're going to insist, you're going to dogmatically insist that you must give your faith and devotion to this person because they have a position. It's fair to give respect and to cooperate. We do that for Srila Prabhupada. And we don't expect that they're perfect. And that's very, one of the managers perfect is they're never perfect. But we cooperate together. But don't demand from me that you're going to be my guru and my spiritual leader. That you can't force that. That's rape. That's spiritual rape. So Indra became furious. He was so proud. And he called for the Samvardhik cloud. You know this story, I think. I'm just repeating some things you've heard many times before, I think. But I'll just emphasize it again. The Samvardhik cloud is a cloud of devastation which destroys the entire universe. Now could you imagine if there was a newspaper article tomorrow on the front page of the London Times said that the police, Scotland Yard, stopped some crazy person who was going to drop an atom bomb on London and kill everyone. That would be a very heinous act, wouldn't it? It would be a terrible thing. But try to understand what Indra was doing was millions of times worse than dropping an atom bomb on London. The Samvardhik cloud is much, much more powerful than a tiny little atom bomb. It destroys the whole universe. And he's not sending it just for the residents of London. He's sending it to destroy all the bridge bosses, Krishna's family members and friends, Krishna's village. It's a very, very terrible thing. So, on Indra's orders, the clouds and the cloud devatas began to march very rapidly to Vrindavan. And suddenly in Vrindavan, the wind started blowing terrifically. I don't know if you know what this is like. I grew up in southern Illinois. This is a place with many, many tornadoes. And I've seen that a tornado can come and as long as it takes me to snap my fingers, a whole house is destroyed and blown away. Off to completely nothing. When the tornadoes come, everybody starts running and you go down to the basement. So there's a certain thing in the atmosphere, in the air, you can feel it. Oh my God, there's some terrible storm coming. So in Vrindavan, all of a sudden, these terrible, terrible winds started blowing, and branches of trees were breaking down. People could hardly stand on their feet. They were being blown off their feet by the wind. And then suddenly, this terrible, terrible massive clouds came in. But massive clouds, Kavi Karnapur says, looked like the Himalayan mountains in the sky. And suddenly, within a moment, everything was pitch black. And the residents of Vrindavan couldn't see the hand in front of their face. The ladies couldn't see their children. The men were taking care of the cows. They couldn't see them. Everyone was calling out, help, where are you, this and that. And then the rains began, and the hail. And it wasn't ordinary rain, a few drops or something, or even a heavy rain. But this rain was coming down in columns. And the hailstones were like as big as softballs. And Kavi Karnapur says that the Vrindavan bulls were getting very annoyed. All the hail hitting them, looking up at who's doing this kind of thing to me. And all the Vrijbasis, they started trying to find a place to take shelter. They were going to their homes and their courtyards and banyan trees and slopes, trying to avoid the rain, trying to avoid the flood, which was suddenly coming. And then, terrified, the Vrijbasi people started calling out, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga, Twanatam Gokulam Prabhu, Tatu Mahasidevana, Kupitad Bhakta Vatsala. O Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga, you're Mahabhaga, you're very, very fortunate. Twanatam Gokulam Prabhum, you're the Lord of Gokul. You're the Lord of our community. We should depend on Krishna. We respect Indra, but we don't take shelter of Indra. We don't call out Indra's name. We don't worship Indra. We take shelter of Krishna. We don't worship the managers like that. We respect them, cooperate with them, but we don't chant their names or worship them like that. We worship Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabhaga. Tatu Marhasi. You please, please protect us from this Devana, from this Devata, Indra. And he's very Kupitad. Kupitad means very, very angry. Oh Krishna, you're Bhakta Vatsala. And why do they say you're Bhakta Vatsala? Because indirectly they're saying something. This is described by Kavi Karnapur in the pastime of Krishna swallowing the forest fire, that the Vrijbasis were calling out to Krishna, not for themselves. I said, actually Krishna, it's okay. Whatever you want. If you want us to be destroyed, fine. But something disturbs us very much because you're Bhakta Vatsala. Everyone knows that you love your devotees. And if you don't protect us, we know what's going to happen. People are going to criticize you. We can die. That's okay. No big deal. But worse than dying is to think of you being criticized. So you should come and protect us. Otherwise, people are going to criticize you. And it was for this reason that the Vrijbasis, they called out to them. And Krishna consoled him. He said, don't be afraid. He said, all this trouble, this is very, very insignificant. This Indra, he's nothing. And so then Krishna, just as a little child, picks up a mushroom, an insignificant little mushroom. Krishna, with one hand, he picked up Govardhan Hill and he held it up. Like, he said, with no more effort than an elephant picks up a clump of grass. And as the mountain began to rise up into the air, so much huge noise came because so many boulders and things fell down from Giriraj and it echoed throughout the universe. And at that time, Kavi Karnapur says that there are so many beautiful flowers that were falling from Govardhan Hill. And those falling flowers seemed like Giriraj's laughter. And his ecstatic laughter being touched by the lotus hand of Krishna. And as Giriraj Govardhan began going higher and higher in the sky, the trees on Govardhan Hill began to challenge the trees in Indra's celestial abode. Giriraj served Nijapati Bhuja Gandach. That means as an umbrella. Giriraj became Krishna's umbrella to protect all the residents of Vrindavan. And that rain came down on all sides of Giriraj like streams of pearls falling out. It was very, very beautiful. And then with an affectionate voice, Krishna spoke. He said, Ambahe mambilambasva taptahe traiva yuyam ayata aryahe sarvanadaya gacha iti prabriti Amba hey, mother, come, come. Tata hey, what does tata mean?
Father.
Tata hey, Arya hey, everyone come, come. Everyone come underneath the hill of Govardhan. Don't be afraid. He said, this Giriraj is so light, he's like a piece of cotton. And just look, everyone came, I guess maybe you're a little worried. If Krishna came and lifted up London, what would be underneath? You might think, oh, the sewage system and the rats and so many nasty things are there, right? But when Krishna lifted up Govardhan Hill, the Brijbasis, they saw there was a ladder going down. And inside of Giriraj, there was a whole village, a whole community, wonderful buildings. And because Giriraj likes to take care of the cows, there were vast fields of green barley. Green barley is very, very nice. When I was a young boy, we used to take green wheat. It was very kind of chewy, very, very nice. And there were vast reservoirs of water. And you might think it was very dark there. No. Krishna's Kustubha gem was lighting everything up. And Krishna told him, don't worry about the water coming in. All the rocks and dirt fell around Govardhan Hill. And they made a wall so the water can't come in. No? Everyone come, come. So these two pastimes that we've been speaking about, is Kaliyadamana Leela and is Govardhan Dharana Leela, have one important aspect in common. That both these two pastimes are the only pastimes in Braj where all the Brijbasis were gathered together. You may add to that the first forest fire, but the first forest fire took place right after Kaliyadamana Leela because they hadn't gone home yet. And Kamsa, when he saw that Krishna had defeated Kaliya, and he sent one of his chelas to come and light a fire. So everybody was present for that also. So these two or three pastimes, everyone was present. But as we discussed from Narad Muni's statement in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, in the beginning of our discussion about Kaliyadamana Leela, that pastime is mixed, and there's many things which are very, very disturbing. But Govardhan Leela is so sweet. That Kaliyadamana Leela, that's the gopis hadn't yet gotten to see Krishna. And so Krishna gave them the opportunity to come and see him. And as we described, Sanatana Goswami said, even, come, do Ras Leela with me on top of the hoods of Kaliya. And they started doing like that. That was the gopis' purvamak. That was the first time they had a direct exchange with Krishna. But at Govardhan Leela, the gopis are also present and everyone gets to look at Krishna. But there's no terrible fear that there was in Kaliyadamana Leela. We can also compare this Govardhan Dharana Leela with Brahma Mohana Leela, when Lord Brahma kidnapped the cowherd boys and calves. It was bad. Right? Which is worse? The Brahma Mohana Leela, when Krishna stole the calves and cowherd boys, or when Indra tried to mass murder everyone with the Samvardhika cloud? This Govardhan Leela is much, much worse. Much worse. But Krishna was displeased with Brahma and he was pleased with Indra. Why? Because you see, Indra, through his behavior, he brought about separation with everybody in Braj. But Indra, through his behavior, as budmas, as rascal as it was, he brought everyone together. And Krishna was very happy with that. He didn't let Indra know if he was happy. So, Mother Yashoda was very, very disturbed. She said, my Gopal, you're holding up this mountain. I'll come, I'll massage your arm. How is this? This is very, very bad. And Krishna said, no, Mata, it's very, very insignificant. You don't worry. This mountain is nothing. And Mother Yashoda, Krishna said, actually, this mountain is floating by himself. And Mother Yashoda said, okay, look. I'll believe it. It's like your mother. Sometimes you try to argue with your mother and she doesn't accept it. Mother Yashoda didn't accept it. She said, okay, Krishna, I'll accept it that this mountain is floating when I see it go up in the air and start moving around everywhere by itself. Otherwise, you should take some help from the cowherd men. And then Madhu Mangal spoke up. He said, Mata, don't worry. By my mystic potency, by my chanting mantras, this mountain is floating. Mother Yashoda, she turned and she said, look, don't wisecrack with me right now. Don't make jokes. This is not a good time for jokes. You know? And Nanda Maharaj told her, he said, calm down, calm down. It's okay. He doesn't mean any well. He's Batu. He's our the friend of our Gopal. Forgive him. He's just saying something funny to entertain everyone. And so then at that time, the gopis, they told Srimati Radharani, hey Radhe, you be careful. Don't look at Krishna. If you look at Krishna, he may drop Govardhan Hill. He may get really excited. So Srimati Radharani, she was shyly looking down the ground. But at one point, she kind of raised one eye and looked at Krishna. And when Krishna saw Srimati Radharani's glance, he became so ecstatic, he started shaking. And the mountain started shaking. And Madhu Mango became very frightened, and all the cowardly, they all started holding up their sticks like this. At one point, Krishna, he's holding up the hill with his left hand, he took his right hand, and he started to play the flute. And Madhu Mango said, Mah Krishna, don't do that. Don't do that. Because the nature of Krishna's flute, it makes solid things turn into liquid things. And it makes liquid things turn solid. He said, if you start blowing your flute, Govardhan Hill is going to turn into water, and then it's going to be a huge disaster. Don't do this. So this way, under Govardhan Hill, all the bridge bossies were fully satisfied. And although it went on for 7 days, no one felt any hunger. Mother Yashoda was very, very disturbed. My Gopal's not getting enough to eat. She's going there and massaging his arm and things, can I give you something? But Krishna said, no, I'm not hungry. Everything's just fine. And the bridge bossies, they were completely not hungry because they were so satisfied just to stand and look at Krishna. Just like the perverted reflection of this in the material world is lust. When a young boy looks at a woman with lust, that woman, she gets some kind of energy from that. And she becomes lusty. She gets some pleasure. Oh, now he's attracted by me. This is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. In the spiritual world, Krishna gets pleasure when the Brijbasis want to look at him. They just want to sit and look at Krishna. He's so beautiful. And they relish that. And that gives Krishna great pleasure. So, the storm was trying to show up all its power. But it's described that on top of Govardhan Hill, what to speak of under Govardhan Hill, even the deer and the birds and the trees were unaffected. Not even one leaf fell from a tree. It's a Samvartic cloud. But Giridhar is giving shelter to everyone. So Indra was still having his fighting spirit. He wasn't sure what had happened yet. So he sent many, many rain devatas. You go to Braj and tell me what's going on. And they came, they looked all around. They went back to Indra and they said, Maharaj, everyone's dead. That we didn't see anybody, they're all dead. Indra was very, very happy. You know, Kavi Karnapur says that when he called for the Samvartic cloud, he told the Samvartic cloud, you kill everyone in Braj. But one person, you don't kill him. You save him for last, and then you kill him. And that's Nanda Maharaj. I want him to see everyone dying in front of him. So demoniac was Indra. So demoniac. And so when those devatas came back and they told Indra that everyone is dead, Indra was so happy. Very, very good. He said, well, maybe you should go again and make sure. And so they went back again, and they looked, and they came back the next time. They said, we kind of made a mistake. Actually, nobody's been killed at all. And we don't know why. Maybe because he ate so many offerings. But now Govardhan Hill is floating in the sky. And all the Brijbasis are standing under Govardhan Hill. And not one cow, not one dog, not one ant. No one has been harmed by the Samvartika cloud. Indra said, how is it possible? He became very, very confused. And so then Indra took his most powerful Shakti weapon, his most powerful thunderbolt, and threw it on Govardhan Hill. And for Giriraj, it felt like kind of a pleasant scratching sensation on his back. Oh, thanks, I needed that. It didn't bother him at all. So Indra was becoming a little confused. And just at that time, a yaksha showed up. And this yaksha said that, I'm a servant of Kamsa. Kamsa sent me with a message. And he said, I'm the son of Dramila. Kamsa sent me here. And Kongsa's message is that we're very pleased with you. You've done really good. It's intolerable for us to see the disrespect, the pride of these Brijbasi people, and you've treated them properly. You've given them a good punishment. We're very, very happy. And King Kongsa just wants to let you know, you don't need those Brijbasis. We'll worship you. We'll support you. And all of a sudden, Indra said, oh my God, what am I doing? The demons are worshiping me. And I'm going and I'm trying to hurt the devotees. I become so intoxicated, Mada, that I became Drishta. I became impudent. And Udanga, I raised this Samvartaka, this weapon, to try to destroy everyone. What have I done? What have I done? And so Indra, he told the Samvartakas, come back, everyone stop. And Indra then went to his house, but he was having a bad day. And his house was like a living hell. And even though Sachi Devi was there, his wife, who's like the most beautiful of all the Apsaras, she didn't bring him any pleasure. That Amrit didn't bring him any pleasure. There was nothing, no television show, no radio, no nothing could give him any pleasure at that time. And meanwhile, as Indra entered into his dark cave-like home, the sun began to shine very brightly on Braj. And all the clouds went away, the danger finished. And then Krishna, he addressed all the Brijbasis and he said, so now all those terrible winds and rain has ceased. So now your village has returned, you can come out from the mountain. But the Brijbasis didn't leave. They all gathered closer around Krishna. This is really good. We'd rather be here. We don't need to come out into the mountain. This has been so wonderful just to be with you. And then Krishna, he was telling the cows they should go. And have you ever seen the cows? If you go, it's such a wonderful thing if you live in some cold place where the cows are kept in the barn all winter long. And you see the first day of spring and the sun comes out and you let the cows out. Those cows, they see that they're leaping up in the air and running, big, big cows jumping and dancing like this. It's such a joyous thing. So all the cows went running out from Govardhan Hill like that, leaping and jumping and prancing. And they came all out, and all of a sudden they stopped. And they looked back, and they saw Krishna was, and they ran back around Krishna again. And then Krishna told them, no, go, go, chalo, chalo. And then everyone came out from under the hill. And Queen Krishna put the hill back down exactly in the same place as it was, with no effort, just like a boy puts down a mushroom. So when we were doing some research in this, I found a very interesting thing. How many of you here have heard of Chupan Bhog before? It's pretty good, right? What is Chupan Bhog? Chupan Bhog is 56 items. And it's famous. A lot of restaurants in India, they advertise Chupan Bhog. I don't know if they do that here so much. Probably a lot of the Indian restaurants in London do. They advertise, I would think. It's a famous thing. Where did the tradition of Chupan Bhog come from? It came from Govardhan Leela. You see, Mother Yashoda, she was offering every day to Krishna 8 meals 8 times a day. She's really a mother. You know, she just can't tolerate her Gopal. You haven't eaten anything in at least an hour and a half. You must be so hungry. Take something, take something. Mother. And she's feeding Krishna 8 times a day. So the Govardhan Dharana Leela took place for 7 days. Now you multiply 8 times 7, what do you get? 56. So the Brijbasis saw that Krishna missed out on 56 meals, so they made this Chupan Bhog. And this is the origin of Chupan Bhog. It began with this Govardhan Leela. So through this pastime, Krishna has given so many, many instructions. Instructions about the importance of empowerment. The importance, how a little boy who was 7 years old was respected by all the Brijbasis, and he was empowered. I remember we've had many, many thousands of devotees come to Jagannath Puri over the years, asking us to take them on Parikrama. One year we had a group of small girls from the school in Mayapur. They were about, I don't know, from 8 years old to 12 years old or something. We gave a talk one morning at the Tota Gopinath temple, And after the talk, we're walking down the road, and those little girls are all around me. And one of them says, "But Buji, when I grow up, I want to be just like you." And I stopped, and I said, "No." And they all became a little shook up, you know. And I said, "No, you should become better than me. Because you come from a much better family than I do. You should become better than me." And I'll never forget that instant. When I said that to that little girl, her back became very straight. And she became empowered. If you contemplate on it, you can see that Srila Prabhupada had four aspects to his approach in dealing with his disciples. This is my own observation. You can confirm or deny this according to your own understanding. But those four things are love, trust, responsibility, and empowerment. Prabhupada said again and again that our movement is based on love and trust. If you really love someone, then you trust them. And if you don't trust them, how can you love them? That marriage is a big thing, because I'm going to have to trust you. So that's only possible if I really love you. And if you've really worked, you've really given your trust, you've really, earned that trust. Similarly, we have to earn trust with our parents. We have to earn trust with our guru. We have to earn trust with Krishna. We have to show that I'm responsible, that I'm dedicated, that I'm not going to run here and there. I'm going to execute the instructions that you give me. So what happens if you have love? It implies trust. And what does trust imply? Trust implies responsibility. "Dad, can I have the keys to the car?" Your daughter asked that some years ago, right? It happens at a certain time. "Can I have the keys to the car?" Okay. You had to earn that trust. But if you earned the trust, if you didn't earn the trust, you've been coming home every day at 1 o'clock in the morning, forget it. I'm not going to give you the keys to the car. But if you've been observing the rules of the household, you've earned that trust, then you'll get those keys. So Prabhupada loved those devotees. He trusted them, and he gave them responsibility in an amazing way. You think about it. Jamuna, Shama Sundar, Gurudas, Malati, these first devotees who Prabhupada sent from America. They'd never been to London before. They didn't know how to speak English. They only could speak American. I know it's a difficult thing. They're not so civilized persons. They'd only been devotees for maybe 1 year. We're hoping they're following the regulated principle or something, because a lot of the devotees weren't very properly in that time. They certainly didn't know very much philosophy. They weren't big, big devotees. But Prabhupada loved them. Prabhupada trusted them. Prabhupada gave them responsibility. And what was the result? They became empowered. And they did something astonishing. And Prabhupada was so pleased when he sent him that clipping from the newspaper in front of the Hare Krishna chant startles London. Prabhupada was so pleased with that. And they connected with the Beatles. And they established Rathiatra. And they've done so many things. We were speaking last night to lay the foundation for all of us. We have such a debt of gratitude to them. But who were they? They were, very frankly, you read Shama Sundar Prabhu's book. They were just a bunch of hippies. They were going to jail and things for taking drugs. In fact, there wasn't any drug they hadn't tried. They'd done so many things. But Prabhupada loved them. Prabhupada trusted them. Prabhupada gave them responsibility, and they became empowered. And this is Govardhan Leela. This is Vrindavan Village, a place that's free from envy. Indra doesn't want to empower other people. Indra has the attitude of entitlement, that you should give respect to me because I'm a senior. So have you ever heard a couple devotees having an argument, and one senior devotee tells the other, "Just be humble, Prabhu." I always said that was the weirdest thing to say to somebody, you know. Just be humble, damn it. Listen to me, be humble. Yeah, right, okay. Right? It doesn't really compute. So this demanding respect, it's a very, very terrible thing. And there's this attitude of entitlement. There's an interesting story about Jamuna. Jamuna is one of our greatest heroes. In my humble opinion, Jamuna is one of the most elevated devotees in our movement. Very, very special Vaishnavi. So her last visit to Mayapur, I spoke with some of the devotees who had the good fortune to be there. She organized a kirtan program, I don't know, a few days a week or every day, I'm not sure. And she told the devotees when they began that you should be here every day on time, don't miss out, we have this little group. And it was a tight group. And one day after they'd been coming together for a few days for kirtan, there was a knock on the door. And they opened the door, and there was some initiated devotee, Mataji, who was friends with half the devotees in the room. And she was kind of shy, and she said, can I come in for the kirtan? And Jamuna, she spoke up, and she said, oh, I'm sorry, there's not enough room. Now, could you imagine if somebody came in the room right now and said, do you mind, can I come in and take part? Somebody said, oh, I'm sorry, there's not enough room. How would you feel? You might feel a little uncomfortable, isn't it? So I talked to Brajlila Mataji, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj's disciple, told me the story. She was there. She said they all felt very uncomfortable. And it was room. And they're kind of looking around. And somebody said, well, you know, there's definitely space out on the balcony and that. And Jamuna kind of begrudgingly said, okay. So she came in. And later, Brajlila went to her and she said, look, I don't understand. You've always been one of the most loving, compassionate, encouraging persons I've ever met. Why were you saying like that? And Jamuna told her, she said, that when she came to the door, I saw on her face this terrible disease which so many people have in our movement, this attitude of entitlement. And I'm a devotee, I'm friends with all these people, I can enter into this sangha, but we want to have a very tight sangha. We want to have a close sangha. And if you have a close sangha, you can't just have everybody on the planet come for it. If we want to have a Vrindavan village, there's going to be many Vrindavan villages. And you have a certain mood here. Create that mood. If we create it, we welcome every single person to our most intimate assemblies. Then how will we go deep in our connection with each other? We won't go deep. And we'll just have a society that's kind of like khichdi. It's like popcorn. And when you make popcorn, in India, if you've ever seen it, they put the popcorn seeds in some hot sand over fire, and the seeds start popping, and so many corns of popcorn, they start flying out of the pot. And so also, our society would be like that popcorn. We'll lose so many devotees who go here and there. We want to put a lid on that. We want to keep everybody together. We want to go very, very deep in our association, just like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement, which began behind closed doors in the house of Sri Vas Thakur. Just like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he went to Jagannath Puri, which we like to call the Jagannath Puri University of Braj Prem. Each different Tirthasthali there is a different classroom to teach us, to give us a lesson, a particular lesson that we need to learn in our bhajan to attain Vrindavan. And the first classroom is the Jagannath Mandir. And the Jagannath Mandir represents organized religion. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was going there three times a day, according to Lord Chandas Thakur. Like it or not, God always supports organized religion because people need it. It's important. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed us that if you want to really get what he came to give, then you should have another place that's close to the Jagannath Mandir. But it's called the Gambira. And that's a very secluded, quiet place. And there, you have just a few devotees. We need to have both elements. We go out in public and we do kirtan for hundreds of thousands of people. We rent a huge football stadium and we get everyone to do kirtan. That's wonderful. Let's do it every day. But we also need to have some time amongst ourselves where we can speak something deeper than vegetarianism and reincarnation. We need to hear about Krishna. And if we don't do that, then how are we going to go on with our movement? So Jamuna was teaching like this, that we need to have a tight sangha like this. But this Mataji, who was a nice devotee, but she had this attitude of entitlement. Because I'm a devotee, because I'm an ISKCON devotee, therefore you should give me prasadam. Hey, people are not treating me right. I've been a brahmachari here for so long, and you're not giving me the mahaprasad, you're not giving me a room of my own. Don't give me any respect or anything. It's not right. That attitude of entitlement will spoil everything. Again, let's think of the example of Haridas Thakur. In Jagannath Puri, the deities were originally established in such a yuga. The Pranapatisa, the deity installation, was done by Lord Brahma. The same Lord Brahma came again in Kali Yuga, and they wouldn't let him in the temple. But he didn't complain. He could have gone and said, "Hey, don't you know who I am? I'm the one who installed the deity here. Get out of the way." He could have spoke like that, but he didn't. He could have told them, "Hey, don't you know who I am? I'm the Namacharya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and I were like this. You should let me inside, you know." And he didn't do that. He could have done that. He didn't have any attitude of entitlement. And by that, he's teaching us how to chant the holy names and how to establish a village, how to come together and establish a community, a selfless community. But we want to empower everyone else. We don't push ourselves forward. And in the case of Indra, Krishna's taught us through this pastime that we have to give up these three aspects of pride, mada, drishta, and udanda. And there's a similar statement by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where he says that dukkha trasa aparadharyar anorjitam tadinata. He said there's three things which give rise to humility. And the first is dukkha, unhappiness. We're very happy when everybody gives us respect, when everything's going my way, when my wife does whatever I tell her, then everything's good. But when she doesn't do what I'm telling her to do, and not everybody's giving me proper respect, then I become unhappy. But that kind of dukkha, that's good for me. We become a little bit humble then. Tras means fear. Sometimes we become afraid. Oh boy, I made a big mistake. I did some bad thing. I put the deities to rest and I forgot to turn off the light. And all night long the light was on. I'm going to get some punishment for that. I've done something to offend Gurudev. We become afraid. That fear is good. When that fear comes in our life, we should embrace it and accept it. And the third element which gives rise to humility is aparadharyar, the sense that I've committed some offense. I've committed a great offense. There's a nice prayer that we like to offer. Pasanchahamaho nityam paraparada dharmakam chamashamam hare radha dehime sadu dharmakam. Who am I? I'm a Pashandi. What's a Pashandi? Pashandi means someone who's an atheist. Pashandi means someone who's a pretender, who's acting like something they're not. How often am I a Pashandi? Well, Pasanchahamaho nityam. I'm always like that. And what's my nature like, my dharma, my intrinsic quality? Paraparada dharmaka. I'm always committing offense to everyone. And I'm embracing this. This is called Vishad Yoga. This is the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It's a whole seminar we often do. But Bish and Ada, together, Vishad means lamentation. This is a yoga of lamentation. But it's a compound word, Bish and Ada. Bish means poison, Ada means to accept. When we accept the poison of our situation, when Indra accepted the poison of his situation, I really blew it. I really made a huge, huge mistake. When we accept that poison, that's yoga. That links us with God. And because it makes us humble. And Krishna in this way, he smashed the pride of Indra. So, there's a story that I wanted to tell you in this regard also. This comes from, let me see. Our time, I think, is getting short. Let me just look here. What is the time? Yeah, our time's getting very short. Okay, so, I'm not going to tell that story. Flight of the Crow. Not so important. It's nice. But we'd like to say something about Govardhan Hill in a little more intimate way and try to understand Giridhar's mood and why the gopis address him as Haridas of Arya. Many, many places in Shastra Now, I tell you, some devotees, they come together because they're not going out on book distribution, because they're not doing kirtan. They have nothing better to do than to argue or to read stupid things on the internet, because they're not going out and doing important things like preaching and doing kirtan. So such devotees, sometimes his argument says, Giri Raj, a devotee, or Krishna, I spit in your eye, he's actually this or that. And they get in this whole big thing because they don't have anything better to do. Someone should give them some service or something. So many places, Shastra and Acharyas have described Giri Raj as being Krishna. Jiva Goswami, he quotes in the Mathura Mahatma section of the Skanda Purana, Govardhanas cha Bhagavan, yatra Govardhano dhrita, rakshita yadava sarve indra vishti nivarana. The Giri Raj, Govardhanas cha Bhagavan, the Govardhan hill is Bhagavan, he is God. And in this place in Rajasthan, Govardhana dhrita, he held himself in the form of that Govardhan hill. And all the cowherd people were rescued. Garga Sanhita says that Giri Rajo Hare Rupam Sriman Govardhano Girihi Tasya Darshana Matrina Nariyati Kritartitam. That Giri Raj is directly Bhagavan. He's directly the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Narayan Bhatta Goswami, who was a disciple of one of the disciples of Sanatana Goswami, very famous Goswami, he discovered Barsana, he discovered Pili Pukur, and many, many famous places in Braj. Narayan Bhatta Goswami, he wrote one place, Esha Govardhana Sakshat Krishna Eva Nasansaya. Nasansaya, there's no doubt that Giri Raj is directly Krishna. Okay? That's real clear. Giri Raj is Krishna. But then, there's other people, the Brijvasis, many of them, they address Giri Raj as Baba. Some people suggest that on the day known as Guru Purnima, Guru Purnima is a huge, huge festival. Maybe like a million people or something do Govardhan Purkrama that day. And some people say that they do this out of respect for Sanatana Goswami. Maybe previously. But you go there today, there's a lot of young people also, and frankly, they have no clue who Sanatana Goswami is. They just know about Coca-Cola and whatever, their Bollywood music and this thing and that thing. They don't know about Sanatana Goswami. So why are they going? If you ask them, they say, because Giri Raj is Baba. He's our father. He's our big personality. He protects everyone. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes, he uses that phrase, Baba, that Krishna told Nanda Maharaj in the Bhagavatam, he said that Govardhan means he nourishes the cow, so he's Baba. He should be worshipped. Similarly, in Stavamala, Rupa Goswami, he describes that Giri Tata, Govardhana Prataneya. The Giri Raj is Tata. He's our Baba. He's our father. And so some persons, they see Giri Raj Govardhana in this way. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told Raghunath Das Goswami about Giri Raj. Prabhu kahe e shila krishna vigraha inhara seva koro chundi kori hata. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Raghunath Das Goswami, A Shila Krishna Vigraha. This Shila is a form of Krishna. And you should worship him with great, great eagerness. Prabhupada writes in his purport, he translates from Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. He says, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in his Anubhashya that in the opinion of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Govardhan Shila, the stone from Govardhan Hill, was directly the form of Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda. The Lord used the stone for 3 years, and then in the heart of Raghunath Das, the Lord awakened devotional service to the stone. So, from this, it seems clear that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw Giri Raj as Krishna. But, if you look in the Chaitanya Charit, Mahakavya by Murari Gupta, he describes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's words when Mahaprabhu saw Govardhan Hill in Vrindavan. Listen carefully to what Mahaprabhu said. Danyoyam Giri Raja Eva Jagati Shri Krishna Rama Mudha Yatra Kridata Eva Santatamaho Gopala Balai Saha Evam Jopati Prema Puna Rasada Shri Gora Chandra Swayam Shri Gopardana Eva Sagraham Apita Pujayan Ritati. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said at that time that Giridhar, he's Haridasa Varyo, he's the greatest of all the devotees. So how do we understand? Again, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nanchi Lila chapter 14, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is described every day, and Adyapi Chaitanya Ishava Lila Koli, Jakuni Johari Koli, Dusti Adhikari, still going on today. Every day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is walking to the ocean to take bath. And there's an area in Puri known to this day as Gora Batsahi, which means the walkway, the way that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go. So one such morning, he took his bath with his associates, and they got out of the water, and they began to walk, as they did every day, to have darshan of Jagannath and the Sri Mandir. As they were going, suddenly, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became mad. And he started running very fast. And as he's running, he started reciting a verse from the 10th canto of the Gopi Gita. Hantayam abdurabala haridasa varyo Yad rama krishna charanas parisa pramoda Manam tunoti saha gogan hayasta yoya Pani yasu yavasa kandara kandamula. He saw that sandhu known as Chattaparva, and he saw it as Govardhan, and he began to recite this verse, which Raghunandas Goswami says, Sri Radhika Bhakta Chandra, came from the lotus, the moon-like mouth of Srimati Radharani, glorifying Govardhan Hill as the greatest devotee. How do we reconcile this? We did a huge amount of research for over 25 years on this subject matter. We very carefully looked at every single thing our Goswamis ever wrote, all the prayers and things that they wrote glorifying Giridhar. And we didn't find even one place, not even one, where they addressed Giridhar as Krishna. They always address him as a devotee, just as we were mentioning. That Raghunandas Goswami, he says that Nijapati, or your pati, my dear Giridhar, your pati, your lord, is Krishna. Immediately he establishes some distinction between them. Rupa Goswami says, Brindayavaryam Varnitam Masti Haridasyam, that the gopis of Braj have declared that Giridhar is Haridas, the greatest of devotees. He describes Giridhar as Krishnam Bodha Preshta, the dear friend of the black cloud Krishna. And again, Brihad Bhagavatam, Bhita Sanatana Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, again and again and again, they describe Giridhar as a devotee of Krishna. So by this time, you might be very confused by what we're saying. I hope so. You're listening carefully, you should be confused. Because on one side, we're saying one thing, and on another side, we're saying something else. Sometimes things are not so simple. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says that subtle discrimination is extremely important for Vaishnavas. It's extremely important that we become a little subtle. And we see that it's not just black and white. There's many varieties of gray. And actually, there's a lot of colors also. There's a whole spectrum of different colors. So one way to understand a person's nature is to learn something about their origins. Listening to me talk, you can probably tell this guy's from America, poor guy. So you can understand something. He's like a really crude person. I wasn't born in Texas anyway. I'm not so famous. So anyway. So there are several different stories about the origin of Giridhar Govardhan and how he came to Braj. Several of them you may know. One description is given that he was the son, he was born from the wife of Mount Drona, and her name we don't know. And Palashya Muni came to Mount Drona and he said, look, give me some charity. I want your son. I want to take him to Kashi because it's all flat there and I want to have some hills where I can do some meditation. And Mount Jonah was very, very unhappy, but he gave his son. And Gideon said, okay, look, I'll go with you, but if you put me down anywhere, I'm not moving again. And so as that Rishi was carrying Giriraj in his hand, flying to the air, they came over brunch. And Giriraj saw, ooh, this is phenomenal. I want to stay. So in this mystic power, he made that Rishi have to use the bathroom. And so the Rishi didn't think, he just put Giriraj down. He went to answer his call of nature, took a bath in the Jamuna River, and he came back and went to pick up Giriraj. But he couldn't do it now. And he became very angry, and he cursed Giriraj, and you'll shrink the size of a mustard seed every day. Another story, which is also popular, if you ever wonder, when you're going around Govardhan Hill, why there's so many deities of Hanuman. There's an intimate connection between Hanuman and Giriraj. And some say that conception first appeared about 500 years ago in Narayan Bhatta Goswami's book, Braj Bhakti Vilas, where he described that in Treta Yuga, when all the vanaras, the monkeys, were helping Lord Ramachandra build a bridge to Lanka, that Hanuman said, what are these pebbles and stuff, man, forget it, I'm going to do something serious. And he went to the Himalayas and he picked up Govardhan Hill, and he brought Govardhan Hill to use for the bridge. And as he's going over the bridge, suddenly there was an email or something, I don't know, in Kashvani, a voice from the sky that said, the bridge is finished. So then Hanuman said, okay, and he put down Giriraj. And Giriraj said, hey, wait a minute. I don't appreciate that. He said, I was going, Lord Ramachandra was going to put his feet on my head. And now you put me down here. This is not good. So then another Kashvani voice came. And the Lord said that, don't worry, in Dwarpar Yuga, I'll walk on you. Okay, so many of you may know these two stories. But one element about both these stories, these are not actually about the origin of Giriraj. These are secondary stories. Giriraj is already there in the Himalayas. There are a few other stories about the actual origin of Giriraj. We found a few different ones. One is found in the 80th chapter of the Padma Purana. And while speaking to Brinda Devi about the glories of Braj, Narad Muni says that Kopi Paratane, in a previous ancient age, which gives us a clue also, this pastime might be a little different than what we hear about in this age. Because our Goswamis have said that many times the Leelas are a little different in different Divya Yugas. So Narad Muni, he said that Kopi Paratane, in a previous ancient time, there was a Brahmin whose name was Govardhan. And he was a great devotee of the Lord. And he was worshipping the Lord, so Lord Vishnu appeared to him one day and said, what would you like? And that Brahmin Govardhan said, well, you know what I would really like? You should stand on me. Let me put your feet on my back and stand on me. And so according to Padma Purana, that Brahmin received Sarupya Mukti. He got a spiritual form of Krishna's manifestation of Govardhan Hill. And then, according to the Padma Purana, Krishna understood this Brahmin was probably a little hungry and thirsty, because Brahmins are always hungry, so he made some arrangement. And that's the Anukut festival taking away Indra's puja. So then there's another account of the origin of Giriraj. This is second origin account in a book called Maheshwar Tantra. And according to the narrative there, and again in the previous Yuga cycle, Narad Muni, he was gifted a jeweled necklace of Lord Shiva's wife Parvati, and he dropped it on the ground, and that necklace manifested the form of Giriraj. But still, none of these stories exactly explains the really primal origins, we could call the genesis of Giriraj. They just speak directly, indirectly, as Giriraj existing before he came to Braj. So the only two explanations that we found about the actual genesis of Giriraj are found in two books, the Garga Samhita and the Bhavishya Purana. And in the Bhavishya Purana, the Patisarga Parva, Kanda 4, chapter 25, there's an unusual story of how Radha and Krishna were doing penance for 1,000 years to create everything. And after they did penance for a long time, a brilliant effulgence came from their bodies, and all of Brajmandal was produced. And it said that there are 21 energies that emanated from various parts of their bodies. 10 energies were produced from their 5 working senses, the Pancha Karmendriya, and another 5 came from the 5 knowledge acquiring senses. 10 energies from 5 from the Pancha Karmendriya and 5 from the Pancha Gyanendriya. And those energies turned into 10 villages: Gokul, Varsha, Nandagaon, Bandira, Mathura, Braj, Jamuna, Manya, Shreyasayaka, and Gopika. Then there were 10 energies born from the 5 objects of the senses. And in this way, it's kind of a, what do you call that? Kind of like Samkhya philosophy, some description given. And in different Puranas, different descriptions are given to give faith to different persons. And then it's described there that Manasa Prakritir Jato Girir Govardhano Mahan Dibhyam Vrindavanam Drisva Paramanandam Apasa. From the energy, Manasa Prakritir Jato, from the energy of their minds, was born Giri Govardhano Mahan, the great Govardhan Hill. Dibhyam Vrindavanam Drisva. Drisva means to see. When Giridhar saw Vrindavan, Paramanandam Apasa, he became really in a very good mood. So this is one description of the origin of Giridhar. The second is found in Garga Samhita, the 3rd canto, chapter 9. And there it's described that on one occasion, Krishna danced in a Ras Lila with the gopis. And after dancing with them, Krishna offered them a boon, because it's Krishna's nature. He says, Yayatam mam prapadyante tam sadaiva bhajami. I always reciprocate however someone approaches me. So at that time, not just any of the devotees, but Srimati Radharani personally stepped forward and she said, Yadi rase prasano si mama prena jagatpate tadaham pratanam tvam tu karomi manasi stitam. If you're pleased with my love, in this rasa dance, and there's a desire that I'd like to place before you. Krishna said, Tatastu, whatever you want, so be it. And then Radharani, she said, Dandavane dibhya nikunja parshve krishna tate rasa rasaya yogyam rahastalam tvam kurutam manojamsam manoratoyam mamadeva deva. There in the splendid Vrindavan forest, by the Jamuna shore, rasastalam tvam kurutam mas, you should make a place for the Rasa-lila. Because this is Radharani's desire. She knows what brings Krishna pleasure. She wants to please the senses of Krishna. And she knows Krishna gets the most pleasure from the Rasa-lila. So she said, if you want to please me, then make a place where we can do this Rasa-lila. Krishna said, Tatastu. And then, it describes, Tadaiva Krishna Vridaya Gopi Vyuhasya Pashita Nirgatam Sajalam Tejo Anuragashyeva Chankuram. Ankur, Chankara. Ankur means a sprout. At that time, Tadaiva Krishna Hridaya, from Krishna's Hrida, his heart, Gopi Vyuhasya. Vyuha means like a battalion, like an army troop. The gopis were all there like a battalion. Gopi Vyuhasya Pashita, they were all watching this. All those gopis watching. Nirgatam Sajalam Tejo Anuragashyeva Chankaram. The sprout of Krishna's love came from his heart. Out of his heart, it landed on the ground in the form of fire and water. And that sprout, that manifestation of Krishna's personified love, it started growing and growing. This love was what? This is Krishna's personified love for Radha. And Krishna has unlimited love for Radha. So it started growing into a great mountain. And it said that that mountain was 800,000 miles wide, 8 billion miles long, and 4 billion miles tall, eternally. And it was getting so big, everybody in Vrindavan started getting really nervous. We're going to get smashed any moment now. And Krishna came and gave him a big slap. Hey, stop it. You're scaring everybody. And then the mountain came. And he calmed himself down. So, this is Govardhan Mountain. This is Govardhan Hill. The accounts of both of the Vishvapurana and Garga Samhita support the idea that Giriraj is Krishna in the form of a devotee. Garga Samhita says that Giriraj comes from the heart of Krishna in the form of a desire to please and serve Radharani and the gopis. While the Bhavishya Purana says that Giriraj came from the minds of both Radha and Krishna. So, as we were asked this question yesterday, Srimati Radharani is very much there. You could say that Giriraj is Krishna's personified love for Radha, manifesting in a form to bring Radha and Krishna together. And why did the six Goswamis, why are they so stuck on that mood of Giriraj? Because our six Goswamis are Sakhi Manjaris. And the mood of the Manjaris is to bring Radha and Krishna together. And that's the ontological purpose of Giriraj. To be a place to bring Radha and Krishna together. Giriraj is Krishna. He's come from Krishna's heart. But who is in Krishna's heart? Jiva Goswami describes as Yugalashtakam prayers, Krishna Prema Mayi Radha, Radha Prema Mayi Hari. That Radha is made out of pure love for Krishna, Krishna is made out of pure love for Radha. And he goes on to say, Krishna Chitta Stitta Radha, Radha Chitta Stitta Hari. That Radha is in the heart of Krishna, and Krishna is in the heart of Radha. So, Giriraj came from the heart of Krishna. Who's in the heart of Krishna? Radharani. And Giriraj is Krishna's desire to serve Srimati Radharani. So Radharani is there again. Giriraj is in the mood of a devotee. Giriraj Govardhan is something like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's Vishnu Tattva, but like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, like Nityananda, Dvaita, Balaram, Lakshman, and Ananta Sesh, he's come in the mood of a devotee. And he wants to get that pleasure. Because throughout the Vedic literature, as it's described, as Krishna says in Chaitanya Charitamrita, or Kaviraj Goswami says, Bhakta Prema Rajata Dasa Jivati Pukha Jata Dukha Jata Sukha Jati Kivika. Himself, this is Prabhupada's translation, Krishna himself cannot fully understand the conditions, the mode of progress, the happiness and unhappiness, and the moods of ecstatic love of his devotees. He therefore accepts the role of a devotee to taste these emotions fully. And many, many places this is described, that the Krishna gets more pleasure in that way. And Srila Prabhupada, he describes, again and again also, and this, I'm reading from an article from this magazine, there's many references there, but I'm feeling a little pinch, I'm going to try to finish quickly now. Prabhupada says in one lecture in Los Angeles, a devotee is more kind than God. A devotee is more merciful than God himself. We should always remember this. And so this is why Krishna told them, worship Giriraj. Worship the cows, worship the Brahmins, because they're all selfless. They have no ambition. They have no desire for any big position or anything. Giriraj is a pile of rocks. He grows grass. Cows don't have board meetings and important discussions. They just hang out and chew grass and give milk. And the Brahmins, they're very, very simple. They just want to help everyone. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is described in the last verse of his prayers to Govardhan, a very important verse in this regard. He says, Vina bhavet kim haridasa varyo padashrayam bhaktir atashrayami yameva swaprema nijesayo sri govardhano me nishatam abhishtam. He said that may Giriraj fulfill my abhishtam, my manobhishtam, my innermost desire. And what is that? He says, well, first of all, vina means without. V Vinabhavet Kim Hari Dasavaryo, unless you worship Giridhar as a devotee, Padashrayam Bhakti Ratashrayam, and take shelter of him, and serve him with devotion in that way, then Yam Eva Swaprema, you can't get the Swaprema, the praying that he has. We don't think about that. We can worship Giridhar Govardhan as Haridev. And Haridev is there by Manasi Ganga, and that's perfectly fine. Giridhar is Krishna. And as Haridev, wow, he gives a lot. He'll grant residence in your Govardhan. But if we worship him as Haridas, as our six Goswamis have done, he gives something even more. He gives the praying, the love that he has. And what is the love that Giridhar has? He's Krishna's personified love for Radha. His function is to bring Radha and Krishna together. That you use a big word from a small mouth, as my Guru Maharaj would say, is Manjari Bhav. That's the goal of Gaudiya Vaishnavas. And this is why our Goswamis, they worship Giridhar as a devotee. This is why the gopis, they saw Giridhar as a devotee, because they were there when Giriraj appeared. They knew. The other Brijbasis, they're thinking Giridhar is Krishna, Giridhar is Vishnu, he's a big, big devata. But the gopis say, no. We know he's a devotee. They see him like that. If they don't see him as a devotee, how can they meet Krishna? If they see him as God, they won't be able to walk on him. And the gopis are walking all over Giridhar. And they're meeting Krishna in the caves and things. They can't do that unless they see him as a devotee. So many, many very deep esoteric things are there in this connection. If you're interested in some more on the same subject matter, there's a number of articles in this magazine about it. There's also one that we wrote about Govardhan Hill in Jagannath Puri, and why it is that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was in Vrindavan, he wouldn't walk on Govardhan. But when he went to Puri, he walked on the hill, which he saw as Govardhan. And why it is that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati made deities, established deities there of Vinod Madhav, and he had the temple, the deities, down the bottom of the hill, and he put his temple, his Bhajan Kutir, on top of the hill. Why did he put the deities down lower than himself? There's a very, very, very esoteric, deep reason, which would take me a few hours to discuss, but I don't want to do that. So we're going to stop. Do you want to say something additional? So I want to thank everybody very much for coming together for this. Please think about these pastimes. Think about Vrindavan. And think about how we can establish Vrindavan villages. And don't be in anxiety about the Indras, little Indras, because Indra always comes and goes. It's not a big deal. The big thing is, we need to establish Vrindavan communities. We need to do this Govardhan Puja, this Puja, which nourishes all the senses, which nourishes the senses of everyone. And please, pleases Krishna, pleases Srila Prabhupada. That should be the basis of our community. A community that has no envy, and like Giridhar Govardhan, pushes everybody up and wants to empower everyone. Unlike Indra, who has an attitude of entitlement and pride, Giridhar Govardhan is just the opposite. So thank you all very much for walking with me in these strange, curvy roads of this Katha for the last few days. Thank you very much.
So the only what is this was the last Katha here. We're going to be training the after tomorrow. A few magazines left. If anybody is interested, please come and get them. He put so much in it, so much research, and there are, in this Govardhan magazine, there is an article about the caves of Govardhan with pictures taken with a drone, because there is no other way to take pictures of the caves of Govardhan, and there's an article about the origin of Gunjamala, so many things. So if you want, you can come and get that or some of the other magazines. And also, we have this free email magazine, if anybody hasn't signed up and would like to get some nice Krishna Katha directly into your inbox every afternoon, then please come and see me.
Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah. So I'd like to ask if I know it's really late, I'm sorry, but it's our last day, and I just purposely went late because I wanted to share all these thoughts with you, at least a little bit of a seed form. actually this magazine we just did is all the mercy and due to the katana, very, very spiritual master, Shishimad Gurudev Maharaj. And Guru Maharaj, he said that Giriraj is a devotee, Giriraj should be worshipped as a devotee, but he didn't explain very much about it, just in a pretty basic way. And some devotees were unsure of what should we do. So, taking his instruction in our head, and dusting his lotus feet, we tried to write something about this. We tried to do some research on this. By his inspiration and his instruction. So, we tried to share a little something of this with all of you. Thank you. So, do you have any comments or questions? Sadhguru?
I just wanted to ask you about, you know, it was like, with God, that they offered lots of food and nothing satisfied them apart from the tulasi leaf. In the beginning you said that Govardhan, he got offered lots of food,
yeah.
And he kept on eating and eating, but nothing was satisfied apart from one tulasi leaf. Does that mean that if we worship, I don't worship Govardhan, but for people that worship Govardhan, we should not offer tulasi then because we see him as
he starts getting bigger and bigger.
No, because we see him as a devotee, not Krishna.
Whenever I give these talks about Govardhan in his ontological position, practically every time I get the same question. How should I worship Giriraj Govardhan? And I give pretty much the same answer every time. Actually, that question is fundamentally wrong. Because you shouldn't ask that question to someone. Rather, Yuktasya Bhaktam Chani Yunjitopi Vande Guru Sri Charanadabhanda. That comes from Guru. And Gurudev may give someone a particular instruction. We have no strength on our own to worship Krishna, to worship Giriraj. But we do so on the order of Sadhu Guru. And however they tell us, whatever conception they give us, we do like that. My Guru Maharaj gave me a certain conception. And I can tell you an interesting story in that regard. I have a godbrother who is also worshiping Giriraj. And I have instructions from my Guru Maharaj how to worship Giriraj. And so the godbrother got instructions also. The Guru Maharaj gave us different instructions. And one day that devotee, our godbrother, was speaking to the Guru Maharaj. He said, Guru Maharaj, I really like the way Madhavananda is worshiping Giriraj. I'd like to do that also. And my Guru Maharaj chastised him and said, no, that's for Madhavananda. And I gave you this other thing. So it's personal. It's individual. And it comes from Guru. So Giriraj is Krishna. Giriraj is also a devotee. And we can think of him in both ways, but we should follow the mood of our Gurudev because we want to capture that mood of his. And Shushu Shoshananisha Vasudeva Kata, which is Samaha Seva Vipa Konitetana Seva. When we render service to Gurudev, then we get some Kata Ruchi. Something comes to our heart. Something from his heart comes to our heart. So Guru is that personality that we meet. Jiva Goswami says that I want his mood, I want his bhav, not just the information that he gives or the ecclesiastical position that he has in the institution or something, but I want the mood of that person. And so many different devotees are going to have different moods. So that's my little story. Okay? You had some
people? Because nobody knows the mind of a Vaishnava, and you gave the example of someone going to the liquor store and they're going actually to distribute books. And then you gave the example of Yamuna Devi, and she didn't let someone in because they had a sense of entitlement. If you have this like close meter, but in Kali Yuga, how can you avoid the other extreme, which is elitism?
So my hands are dead. The first part of your question was that we should try to understand the mood of Guru. Come close to Guru.
You're saying that we should all be intimate and close.
Or be intimate and close. But how do we avoid elitism?
Yeah.
Very good. So, we should be very, very simple. And don't think that it belongs to us. Don't think that this ashram is my ashram. And that I don't have this attitude of entitlement. Think of ourselves as a servant. That I'm just here to serve. And just as if you're a servant in a rich man's house, when a guest comes, then the rich man wants to give him some water and a place to sit and something to eat. He wants to take care of all the guests. So we're Radhananda Ishwara as servants. And they have so many guests who come. So we should try to serve those guests to please Radhananda Ishwara. And it doesn't belong to me. I'm here to do service for Gurudev. Some people, they think that, oh, Gurudev, he's good. Gurudev's really good guru. He made this temple so I'd have a place to live. Gurudev Prabhupada made this society so I could have a career or something. But that's not their purpose. This is a place for service. And we should always bear that in mind. So how do we keep that in mind? By our association. We should be very careful. If we associate with people who are career-minded, like one senior devotee once told me many years ago, Madhav Nandi, you should think about your career in this one. I got really depressed, you know. I didn't come here for a career. If I wanted a career, I would really do something else. I wanted money and whatever. I'm not coming here for that thing. I came here for service. I came here because I have problems. I came here because I want to be part of this mission. That's why I came here. So we should associate with people who have that attitude. But if we associate with people who are like Indra, who have an attitude of entitlement and are thinking about their career, then we'll also start thinking the same way. And we'll spoil everything. And our communities won't take off. It won't be very attractive for people. When they come, all the faults that we were speaking about yesterday, that you were speaking about, all of you, when I asked you, what is it you don't like about organized religion? We'll find all those things right here in our own home. So this Govardhan Puja represents stopping that and establishing really the Nirvana Vrindavan. It's not always such an easy thing because we need management, we need organization, and sometimes we get sucked up in it. It's kind of like, I get a really harsh example. It's like institutions and temples sometimes can be compared to the Agasura demon. The Agasura demon, when the boys went inside that demon, they thought it was a cave, maybe, not really sure, maybe it is a demon, but anyway, don't worry, Krishna will save us. They went inside the mouth of that demon without Krishna. They all died. And so similarly, if we try to use the resources of this institution, this society, without keeping Krishna in the center, we'll also die spiritually. But when Krishna came in the mouth of Agasura, he brought all those boys back to life, and later on, that same Agasura demon became a playground for the boys in the service and pastimes for Krishna. So the temples can be one of these two things. If we look at them with this vision that this is something for me to get a big position and think of my career or whatever, then you're going to die spiritually. And it's going to turn people off because it's going to be all the things we don't like about organized religion. But if we go into there with Krishna and our whole focus is on Krishna and the whole purpose of this temple is Krishna, the whole purpose of our management is Krishna, to chant Krishna's name, to do kirtan, to have Krishna katha, to offer bhoga to Radhalinda and Ishwar, to bring people to them, and we keep Krishna in the center, then it's a wonderful, wonderful playground. And everything will be so happy. So many people come, wherever we travel a lot, and it's natural, you travel, people come and say, Prabhuji, you know, our temple president is like this, or this guy, or there's this politics. And I just tell people, what do you want, man? What did you come here for? Don't get involved in all that stuff. Get involved in the chanting. Be a saint. And ignore all that stuff. Just get absorbed in kirtan, in Krishna katha, in preaching, and serving, cooking offerings for the deity, cleaning the temple, preaching to new people, and everything will be so wonderful. And I just don't have time for all that other politics and this and that and the other. I'm sorry. Anything else to say? Ramana Sukhapu, was that okay? Not angry with me?
Very well. I mean, one thing I can just make a small comment about Giriraj worship. It's completely unique. How Giriraj manifests to his or her caretaker. The relationship is this unique. No one can really get so much involved other than maybe some kind of a mentor, maybe some guidance.
That's a beautiful thing. That's the nature of personal relationships.
And yes, great personal. And also, Lord Chaitanya's philosophy is completely explained. It's in Japan. They have done all of these inconceivable aspects of Giriraj, Giriraj Krishna. It's Giriraj Krishna or Giriraj Lord Krishna. It all comes together as you meditate
Just like I have my relationships with different persons, and I know some. You know, sometimes there's some people that other people don't like them, but I like them. He's my buddy. You know, it's like that. I have my relationship with my wife, with my brothers, with my friends, and it's my unique relationship. We also have our unique relationship with Krishna. And if you don't like it, leave me alone.
Yeah.
You know, we should respect each other, respect our relationship, as long as you're not doing some terrible thing to hurt people or taking drugs or something in the name of Krishna. Why, did you get something?
Well, you said about the Bhagavatam,
is
it 5th canto,
30th?
You said try to live without envy,
yes, yeah. I can give you a reference for that. Yeah. It's from the 5th canto.
11:30 or
30:11? Who said that? 5:11:15?
5:11.
Let me just check. Unless somebody knows.
It's 5:11:13.
Yeah, it's 5:13:11.
Oh, sorry.
5:13:11. It's really good.
I said 5:13:11.
So I'm getting senile. Anything else, sister?
Does to get to worship Guru Dhanashila, does that have to be given by Guru, or someone told me that you have to, like, certain rules, like you have to, you ask like a veg, like a someone that lives in Vrindavan, or you have to pick one, or Pujari has to give one to you. How does it work?
There's a tradition that you're supposed to go, and if you have a shield this big, you should leave the same amount of solid gold. It's a very popular tradition of the local bridge bossies. But we're not interested in all those rules and regulations, and that's what the whole purport of Govardhan Puja is all about. Indra, it's okay in all of his methodology and his systems and institutions and things like that. That's okay, we respect him. But we want just something with some devotion and simplicity. So how do we get Giridhaj in a simple, basic way from someone who has him? Krishna, say tomorrow, Krishna Diti Pau Tomara Shakati Achi. Gurudev has that. Gurudev has Krishna. So that's why we serve him. And if I try to get Krishna without Guru, I'm living in an illusion. It's not possible. Krishna tells Arjuna in the Adi Purana, Yeme bhakta jana partha name bhakta sate jana man bhakta namche ye bhakta sate ne bhakta tamo mataha. That person who says he's my devotee, he's not my devotee. But the devotee of my devotee is my real devotee. Prabhupada writes this in the introduction to Nectar Devotion, that until someone is accepted by Guru, they're not really doing bhakti yet. They're doing something which brings us closer to bhakti, and we want to encourage everybody to do it. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives an example. He says that a fire yajna means pouring ghee in the fire and chanting swaha. Swaha is the name of Agni's wife. Right? That's a fire sacrifice. There's other things which are not a fire sacrifice, but they're connected with it. You go and you clear all the rocks and rubble and things away from the area before you make your kund, your fire pit. You collect bricks, you collect ghee, you collect firewood. It's not the fire yajna. The fire yajna is when you pour ghee in the fire and chant swaha. But because those things lead to the fire sacrifice, because the fire sacrifice is dependent on those things in some way, then we also consider them to be part of the fire sacrifice. So bhakti means under the guidance of Sri Guru, doing something for their pleasure. But there's other activities which are, in that sense, not bhakti, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur calls them indriya vyapara, where the senses engage in the sense objects. So they're not really bhakti, but they bring us there, because they give us what's known as bhakti unmukhi sukriti. They give us some pious credits that we, by which we get association with sadhu. We come to sadhu, and that means chanting the holy name. That means worshipping the deity from a distance. That means worshipping Tulsi, taking prasada, and doing all the different angas of bhakti without initiation from Guru. Those things are very good. Those things without Guru, those give us bhakti unmukhi sukriti, by which we can come to Guru. Satsange prapyate pumbi sukritai purvisanchitai. The Brihannaradiya Purana states that due to some previous sukriti, we got association with such a sadhu. that Previa Sukriti means Bhakti Vimukti Sukriti. Okay?
Yeah, and just I wanted to ask, like, you said that we should accept Guru, but how do we know, like, because we might accept Guru in our heart, but how do we know if Guru accepts us? Because...
That's okay, that's a bona fide question.
I don't know if it sounds illogical.
Well, it is, because it's a relationship. And I may...
Because I might think I love my sister, or I love my mom, but how do I...
I might think I love Srila Prabhupada. But how do I know? Has Prabhupada accepted me? How do I know?
Yeah.
I'm not satisfied unless he comes to me in a dream and speaks to me and says, hey, you're my, I've accepted you. I've directed. I'm not satisfied with anything less than that. That's the nature of relationships. Sometimes we see in high school or something, a girl or a boy, they have some fantasy relationship with some other boy or girl, and they're madly in love in their mind with that person, but they haven't even talked to them. And the girl may just think you're a creep. You may think she's heaven on earth and I'm madly in love, and she just thinks you're a jerk. So it's required. You're correct. There should be some reciprocation. We can't just, in our mind, like in the story of Ekalavya in the Mahabharata, Ekalavya went to Dronacharya and he said, please accept me as your disciple. Drona said, you come from a low caste. I'm not going to do it. Get out of here. So then Ekalavya, he went away and he made a deity of Dronacharya. And he started practicing archery in front of the deity. And he became a fantastic archer. So very, very powerful. And it's a long story. But later, Dronacharya came to him and said, because he saw that Ekalavya was a demon. Krishna killed Ekalavya in the Mahabharata. He was not a devotee of Krishna. Ekalavya was envious of Arjuna. And so Drona saw this guy's got this problem. So he said, where did you learn all this archery? He said, from you, Gurudev. And so then Drona said, okay, then you should give me some Guru Dakshina. Yes, Gurudev, what do you want? I want your right thumb. Cut it off. And so Ekalavya, he did that. Ekalavya means one thumb. Became known as Ekalavya. And some people say, oh, Ekalavya is such a great devotee. He's an idol, a disciple. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, nonsense. He was a demon. And we don't accept him as a devotee because he wasn't accepted by Dronacharya. It was some mental speculation on his part. We have to also be accepted by Gurudev and not just have some fantasy in our mind that I have this connection with someone. We need to have we need to be accepted by them.
You mean like physically?
Well, what do you want?
I just don't know.
What if I told you that, Prabhuji, you look like you really need to get married. I know a girl. She's fantastically beautiful. And she's really sweet. And she cooks really, really good. And she'll never argue with you. She's a nice devotee. She comes from a good family. And so many good qualities. Only one small problem. You won't ever get to meet her. But you can talk to her on the phone once a month. Would you agree to marry her?
So what's the reciprocation that you're talking about?
Do you understand my point?
Yeah,
let me answer your question. Would we be satisfied with such a relationship? No. Because I want to see her. I want to see him. I want to be able to touch them. I want to be able to do service. If you tell the gopis a brush, don't worry. Okay, Krishna left Vrindavan, but he's on Facebook. And you can go on Facebook and have a connection with Krishna. Are the gopis going to be satisfied with that? No. They want to see Krishna. And some people might be satisfied. But I think it's a little weird. You know, I'm satisfied in this relationship. I never met her, but I'm married. And I talk to her once a month on the phone. And I can't even meet the sadhu. I can't even talk with it. Why should I be satisfied with that? What kind of sick mentality is it that I'm satisfied with such a thing? It's impersonal. I want them. Not only do I want to see them, I want to be with them always. I want to render service to them. Jiva Goswami, he says, there's two types of service, two types of relationships we have with Guru. Prasanga Seva, Prasanga Rupa Seva, where we serve Gurudev's body, and Vani Seva, where we serve his message. In ISKCON, we always say the Vani is the most important. But Jiva Goswami says both are important. Why do we emphasize the Vani? We have no choice. Because Srila Prabhupada had so many thousands of disciples, and he couldn't be everywhere all the time. So he told them correctly, you associate to the instructions, and they could. But if I can hear stories about Srila Prabhupada from someone like Jamuna, or someone like Brahmananda, who had a lot of physical association with Prabhupada, or I can hear from someone else who never met Prabhupada, but Prabhupada gave them initiation, and they dedicated their life to Prabhupada, and that's wonderful. They have some realizations, but I'd really like to hear from Jamuna or Brahmananda, because they had so much instructions, so much interaction. It's personal. Don't be impersonal. That's my suggestion. Anything else to say? Okay, so I finished ranting and raving enough. Thank you all very much. Bhagavad Maharaj Ke Shri Shri Radha Nandini Swaju Ki Shri Prabhupada Ki Gopremanandi Vansha Kapadu Vishchar Kupa Sindhu Deva Charpatita Namukhavani Vaishnavi Yoga Maha Shri Prabhupada Ki
So tomorrow you can either come yourself or it'll be on my opportunity. What would you be doing in class at your manor?